Today's program has been brought to you by Brooklyn Slate, brooklynslate.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. And so last week, we talked about homemade flour, milling your own flour. And this week, we're going to continue a little with our two-part bread making series, if you will. The book I'm talking about today is called The Bread Exchange, Tales and Recipes from a Journey of Baking and Bartering. It's by Malin Elmlid. Is that Malin? Are you there? Okay, cool. Well, she'll be right back with us, but this book, Malin is based in Germany, in Berlin, by the way. But if anyone saw the film Wild or read the book, and it follows a protagonist, a young woman who goes on a trek across the country to wilderness, I believe in the Pacific Northwest. So this book kind of takes that concept, except it's all about bread. So Malin traveled throughout the world, actually, not just one corner of the globe, and traveled around exchanging bread, sharing stories with others. And she's here to talk about it from Berlin. Is that correct? Are you there, Malin? We lost her. Okay. So Malin, we did talk to her, so she is coming back on air. But in the meantime, just to introduce this project, because it is a very different kind of concept, Malin started a project called The Bread Exchange, and leaving her corporate day job, decided to learn how to bake bread first and foremost, good bread, and then share it. So kind of taking the concept breaking bread on a global scale, really literally. She also emphasizes using natural leavened bread and old-fashioned traditions when it comes to bread that are really enjoying a resurgence these days. We see a lot of pushback against bread in general. A lot of people are shunning bread for various reasons, whether they're trying to lose weight because they're trying to eat less carbs, or they're gluten-free. I feel that with every movement like this, there's a sort of like cult phenomenon in response that is for bread. So we're seeing right now a resurgence of breaking bread, making bread the traditional way. Malin, are you there on the line?
I'm here. Yes.
So glad you could join us. All right.
Yes, I'm really happy to be here too, from the south of Germany.
I was just giving a one-woman show about your book, but congratulations on the book. It's a fascinating story. And tell me a little bit about how you started, because you were working in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
I love how you write that, you know, your story started with a lot of frustration and dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
And then
it wasn't really meant to be a trading project. I was simply urging a really good bread because I couldn't buy it in Berlin or in many capitals from around the world. It was a hard time to buy good bread.
Really?
That was 2007. It was it was really hard. I was traveling a lot, and I mean, it's still hard to find really well-made traditional bread made with high-quality ingredients, and especially that are without yeast. Which is easier for me to digest. The sourdough bread is simply easier to digest. And that's how it started.
So natural, old-fashioned artisan bread or wild yeast leavened bread. I was talking a little bit to myself about how, you know, we see a trend in bread baking, going back to the roots of bread, using traditional techniques, and it's sort of like a cult these days. So did you eventually find good sources of bread in Berlin? And I know you did it throughout all these other cities you went to.
Yeah, I could find really good rye bread, but I couldn't find good white sourdough bread because Germany is not a traditional place for that. Their food culture, I mean, you can't find the best bread of any bread, every bread everywhere. So I'm still baking my own white bread because that was, always made with yeast. Mm. But in Germany you can find really, really good rye sourdough, which is, for example, maybe hard to find in New York.
That's true. So you sort of took it
there.
You took it into your own hands and decided to learn how to make bread.
Exactly, and it's something. There is something about bread baking that it can really get you hooked. You know, it's also very rewarding to do because when you know, everyone loves a fresh loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. You know, a homemade loaf of bread. So I was baking a lot, and I was giving it away to friends and neighbors and colleagues and clients as I was traveling, and. And I think also, like you said, I was working in the fashion industry, and that's a business where you think, okay, no one eats carbs, right? but it's when you bake this kind of traditional sourdough bread, I realized I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't gain weight from it. I didn't have a swollen stomach from it. So people were eating it. So it became quite popular.
So is that how... Because, you know, when you bake a lot of bread and it becomes an obsession, hobby, you know, you have to share it. You have to give it away. So is this how the bread exchange started, just having so many good loaves of bread that you were proud to share?
Exactly. I was giving it away for about a year. I was giving away bread. And then after about a year, things started to come back to me just... you know, as you do when you receive something, at one point you want to return it, mm-hmm. right? If someone brings you a cake, you would also want to share your strawberry marmalade next time you make one. You know, it's a natural thing. If someone shares trust or something with you, you're going to return it, I think. It's quite a natural thing, and that's how it started. So it was a very natural development.
So you just mentioned cakes. You know, I'm trying to imagine this project taking place with something like cookies, a cookie exchange project. But I sense that there's something really primal, and I've heard from others that there's something really spiritual about making naturally leavened bread.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I just meant describing, like, the way you are reacting when you're given something. Mm-hmm. I think you always want to return. At least that's my experience, that people, you know, when you give something, when you get something, you naturally want to give something back. But I think the reason why this project has been spreading so, you know, rapidly around the world, and why it's so functioning so also globally, mm-hmm. is definitely because it's bread, because it's something we all understand and we all value very highly. Mm-hmm. And I also think in times when it's even harder to find really good bread, because what we get at the supermarket is definitely not, it's almost not what I would call bread, right? Mm-hmm. Then it even becomes a luxury good in mm-hmm. a way.
So you mentioned that, you know, in the fashion industry and a lot of other, groups find bread to be a bit of a taboo, you know.
Yeah,
but this type of bread you were baking was accepted, and it was easier to digest. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So,
sourdough bread is definitely easier for us to digest. I thought I had a gluten intolerance, and that's why my stomach was constantly swollen. And I tested it, and I didn't. Like most people, don't have a real allergy against gluten. It's rather. For me, it was at least rather the process of too short baking process. Simply, it's very logic.
it's true.
And when we think of it,
I mean, it's also a flavor. It tastes different when you let it naturally ferment, let things bubble. You mentioned that you prefer always using a sourdough starter rather than commercial yeast, which is also used, sometimes. What's the difference, I guess, in the outcome?
It's a huge difference, I would say. Of course, you can. When you bake with the sourdough, the health benefits are huge. Mm-hmm. It has a lower glycemic index.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's also, you know, better to eat if you're, you know, trying to stay healthy and slim. But it's also kind of doing the pre-work where our stomach are doing on our own. I mean, already it has all the lactobacteria. It makes it easier for our stomach to take in the minerals and vitamins that are in a good loaf of bread. But when you have something that is made, I mean, a lot of the industrial made bread today is not only just made with yeast, it's also like just bloated up with air, you know, machine made and then baked, and our stomach just can't digest that as easily. So it's easy to just, I don't know, blame the wheat of today or whatever, but it's even, I mean, a bigger thing is the production method of it. That's my experience, at least.
I think that's fascinating. Well, it's your experience and a lot of other folks that you exchange bread with, too. So that's saying a lot. But, you know, I think it's tough because that's a really good point about the production method of bread. It's not what's in it, but how it was made. And I find that it's even hard for me to find bread and to tell, you know, through labeling. I don't think there's any labels to say that this is made from naturally. I don't even know what the terms would be. I keep saying naturally leavened because I hear that sometimes. But made from a starter rather than yeast packets. It's tough.
Yeah.
Why baking, it's tough to determine.
Yeah, it is very tough. I don't know how it is in the U.S. I know in Germany there is no labeling that works, and the same goes for the U.K. I know the U.K. has organizations that are trying to, you know, deal with it by now.
How should we deal with it?
But it's... I mean, I really don't know how they're labeling it in the States, but you should really look for yeast, simply, you know. I would always look for a good bakery and simply ask them, are they using commercial yeast or how? But it is also extremely easy to make your own bread.
Yeah. It sounds like a matter of know your baker or do it yourself. That's the best way.
Yeah. I mean, if you're living somewhere where you're just not having, where you're just not having the demand for that kind of bread. You simply have to make it on your own. But it's really not that complicated. It's very, very easy, and it's actually pretty self-going, you know. And the rising does its own thing, you know. You just have to kind of plan around it a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like a personal project, and it's a forgiving process, too.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to bake it like I do with the white. I mean, you don't have to make it white. You know, you make rice sourdough bread, which is even easier, I would say, which is easier to, because it doesn't have to have these perfect large air bubbles. You don't have to fold it in the same way as I do it. And you can, I also have a recipe of that in the book, and you have many, I mean, you have tartine, it's also making really good rye bread. You can find really good recipes out now. And,
I love all the different types of recipes you have here. It's really inspiring.
Bread.
Yeah. So we're going to cut to a quick little commercial intro, then we'll be right back to chatting more about your book.
You are listening to Milk and Cookies by Alan Wilkes.
We're proud to count Brooklyn Slate as a business member of Heritage Radio Network. Brooklyn Slate Company is a collaborative effort from Brooklyn graphic designer Sean Tice and Parsons graduate student Christy Hideka. After visiting Christy's family slate quarry in upstate New York in the spring of 2009, the two grabbed a few pieces for use as all-purpose boards back home in Brooklyn and began gifting pieces to friends. The response was so overwhelmingly positive that the two struck out to produce a line of slate products. We encourage you to visit brooklynslate.com to learn more. You can also get your own Brooklyn Slate care package by becoming a superfan member of Heritage Radio Network. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate for more.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hello, this is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we're back chatting with Malin Elmlid, the author of The Bread Exchange. How are you? Still there?
I'm good. How are you? Yeah, I'm still there.
So I noticed
from Germany.
From Berlin, your home.
Yeah, I'm right now in the south of Germany, Yeah, Switzerland.
Excellent. Well, so glad you could join us today. I noticed in the
beginning
of your book, you have a sort of manifesto. I wondered if I could read that. I just thought it might be important to your explaining your work. You write, "Tell me a story that moves me. Show me something I have never seen before. Teach me something I do not know. Bring whatever you do that you are proud of. Share with me, and I will share my bread with you. I will make you bread out of only water, flour, and salt. With all my senses, I will choose the best ingredients I can find. I will get up in the middle of the night to fold the dough for your bread. I will share with you what I do best, and I will tell you, and I will bring a story to inspire you, just as you inspire me." So, that's so cool.
Yes.
Is this sort of a call to arms to create or to bake bread or a little bit of sharing everything, both? Is this project, do you find...
I'm sorry, you fell away now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you say the whole sentence again?
Sure. Is this, I guess, passage, your call to arms for everyone to kind of join on and share whatever they do best?
That is what I have learned in this project. It's really about the most simple things, and everyone has something mm-hmm. like that. The most simple, you know, to be really able to value these small things because it's so easy to miss them, and to dare and want to share with other people because we all have something, even though we don't realize it.
Really. Yeah, it's fascinating. Did you just say dare one to share with one another?
Yeah, I think so.
I loved hearing about, you know, the many stories and the many people you met along the way. And the things that people exchanged for your bread.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, please.
What do you think was the major takeaway of doing this whole project? And, you know, if it's ongoing, then, you know, it's ongoing.
You
but
mean the,
so big, far,
the biggest learning?
Yeah.
Way. Yeah. It's definitely been too... It's been, I think, a lot how, I mean, the intention of all of this, because this has, that it's all, you know, its success lies all in the intention, that my intention when I started this was not to get something, because, you know, I'm trading bread for anything that can inspire me, and it could have been very easy to have been starting to look into what am I getting, you know, and trade with people that I would want to have something from, but for me it has been the biggest lesson to really go into every meeting with completely open eyes, and everyone has always something to give, and even more to give when you really trust them to give their best, because then people do it, and because if you give people trust, you're getting it back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like an inspiration as currency, sort of. Gaining from that all the time. It's a wonderful way to look at, you know. I keep wanting to say, like,
philosophical.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, you know, you didn't start this project to sell bread and make a living off of it, but you gained so much from it.
Exactly. I couldn't have found a fair price for it. You know, what would I do with a couple of dollars or a couple of euros for the bread? I was getting something way more valuable. And also the time I was putting in my bread, I mean, I couldn't value that fairly.
Hey, still there?
And the time, okay. You would just know. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I falling off?
A little bit, but we got you now, I think. Hello?
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
I hear you. Yes.
So what is a highlight of one of the things that you received in exchange? Like an example that you really
it's
like?
It's very hard to give. Yeah, one highlight.
Mm-hmm.
But hard to learn. I'm blush.
It sounds like you're falling down a staircase.
So much that people are... Am I falling off?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I try to... Can you hear? Can
you... Oh, okay. We might be losing you, but...
Me.
Hi. Okay.
No. I'm trying to walk around here.
That's all right. That's all right. Well, we're just wrapping up though, but
can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you good. So, yeah, if you want to share something like about what, if not a highlight, what this, what was an important aspect of this project that you got?
I think the biggest thing has been the variety of things. The people, everyone has always something interesting to share, you know? And I mean, it's been high and low. It's been everything from, you know, being invited to Foundation Beiler, the art foundation from Switzerland, to a 22-course menu with art collectors, but at the same, just as well to the most simple things that you cannot value in money. Everything from, you know, from people sharing stories and sharing time,
totally.
Which you know, in my book.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Sorry, I keep cutting you off because I didn't know if you were done. but that's about all the time we have for today. But thank you so much. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing your book because that's also in itself, you know, an act of sharing and, you know, every time I look at a piece of bread right now, a really good bread, I'm going to really think about its chef and thank them for their contribution and try to make something to exchange for it. So thank you again, Malin.
Or just take the gift for the gift.
Take the gift. Okay.
I think that is also, I don't think that is the main attitude. Sometimes we just have to accept that there is a gift, and sometimes we should just give without the intention of getting something back.
Yeah.
Life becomes so much more easier that way.
Totally.
Hopefully
I'll pay for it too, though. But unless it's just a gift, literally. All right. Well, thanks so much.
I'm so sorry about this connection.
Oh, no, no worries.
South Germany, you know, in the mountains. It's hard.
You know, yeah, crossing the ocean, it happens. So, but thanks so much for joining us. And everyone check out thebreadexchange.com. That's Malin's blog. And the book is fantastic. So check that out. New from Chronicle Books.
It's so much more than bread.
It is. Beautiful travelogue. All right. Thanks, Malin. Thanks.
Beautiful Christmas and holiday.
Thank you so much. You too. All right. Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Thanks.
We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.